as we've looked at the voices of Revelation, I have to confess we nearly left one out. At the end of Revelation chapter 8, there is a loud voice. But as we have looked at the voices so far, there's been quite a cornucopia of things. We saw the voices of worship and praise in heaven that never cease. We've seen the 144,000, but what we need to remember all the time, and I'm going to go back to it right now, is the first verse of Revelation 1, that this is the revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave him to show his servants. So we have to bear that in mind all the time. These things, these apocalyptic revelation sometimes for me it was really hard to, and I still don't know exactly sometimes if it's figurative or if it's literal. And I have to rely on the Holy Spirit and other avenues of talking with people that are much more savvy than I am. But anyway, tonight we're going to look and we're going to start, and there's three words here, and where we're going to start is at the end of Revelation 8. And Revelation 8, the last verse 13 says, "And I, John, looked, and I heard an angel flying through the midst of heaven, saying with a loud voice, 'Woe, woe, woe to the inhabitants of the earth because of the remaining blasts of the trumpet of the three angels who are about to sound.'" The fourth trumpet had just resounded, and a third of the sun was struck, a third of the moon, and a third of the stars. So now this is right after that. So I wanted to know exactly what all the nuances of woe in the scriptures are. So I went to Noah Webster's in his 1828 version. Grief, sorrow, misery, a heavy calamity, a curse, an exclamation of sorrow, as in Isaiah chapter 6, where Isaiah says, "Woe is me, I'm undone, for I'm a man of unclean lips." He realized that he was unclean. He, because of his sin nature, he couldn't be in the presence of God, but the Lord fixed that for him. And we're actually going to be right next door to that when we start looking at some of these woes. But so I do believe, as we look at these woes and the last three of the trumpet blasts, we're not going to get to any of the last two tonight, because this, I'm only going to go a ways into chapter 9. But I think we're looking at heavy calamities here when we start talking about what is coming down the pipe for mankind. But I want to, before we delve into these things, I want us to look, and we're going to go to Deuteronomy chapter 30, because I want to look at some of the judgment that's in the scriptures, because this is what it is. This is judgment going on here in Revelation. So I'm going to try not to run us back and forth too much here, but turn to Deuteronomy chapter 30. And what I want want to look at here in chapter 30 starts in verse 11, and that's the choice that man needs to make. And this is what God was telling the Israelites. And who was he using? Do you remember? Do you know? Who did he give these words to?
Joshua.
Nope. Moses. Let's start in verse 11 of chapter 30. For this is the commandment which I command you today. It's not too mysterious for you, nor is it far off. It is not in heaven that you should say, who will ascend into heaven for us and bring it to us that we may hear it and do it? Nor is it beyond the sea that you should say, who will go over the sea for us and bring it to us that we may hear it and do it? But the word is very near. Excuse me. The word is very near you, in your mouth and in your heart, that you may do it. These are the commands of God. Now you got to keep that in mind. Verse 15. See, I have set before you today life and good, death and evil. And in that I command you today to love the Lord your God, to walk in his ways, to keep his commandments, his statutes, and his judgments, that you may live and multiply, and the Lord your God will bless you in the land which you go to possess. But if your heart turns away so that you do not hear and are drawn away and worship other gods, little g gods, and serve them, I announce to you today that you shall surely perish. You shall not prolong your days in the land which you cross over the Jordan to go in and possess. I call heaven and earth as witnesses today against you that I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore, choose life, that both you and your descendants may live. Verse 20, that you may love the Lord your God, that you may obey his voice, that you may cling to him, for he is your life and the length of your days, and that you may dwell in the land which the Lord swore to your fathers, to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, to give them. So you see, the commands were coming early on to mankind to do what?
Obey.
Submit. And it's laid out pretty plain. If you do this, it's going to be good. But if you do that, and you serve other gods, and you worship me, myself, and I, or the other idols that man still worships, you shall perish. Surely perish. Shall. So there's judgment coming on those who do not believe and adhere. Because in a generation, if we looked in Judges, we would see that the generation that served the Lord, not necessarily perfectly, because man is not capable of that, there was a falling away. It only took a short period of time. But I want to show you tonight that this has started back. Revelation is at the end. the judgment we're going to finish up with tonight is about the end times. This was in the beginning. And this all ties together because salvation is of the Lord. And salvation was of the Lord then. And salvation was the Lord in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. And in Revelation. And at the end, can a man be saved before the day of the Lord? Can a man be saved in the last day? But when judgment comes, that's the end. Now, we're right there, so I want to see that Joshua is now going to be the new leader. And that comes in 31. And starting in verse 9, Deuteronomy 31. It's right where we're at. Next page. Deuteronomy 31, and I want to start in verse 9. There was a lot of encouragement for Joshua from the Lord, from Moses, but now in verse 9, it talks about renewing their memory about how things were done. And so in verse 9, Moses wrote this law, and he delivered it to the priests, the sons of Levi, who bore the ark of the covenant of the Lord, and to all the elders of Israel. And Moses commanded them, saying, at the end of every 7 years, at the appointed time in the year of release, at the Feast of Tabernacles, when all Israel comes to appear before the Lord your God in the place which he chooses, you shall read this law before all Israel in their hearing. Gather the people together, men and women and little ones. And the stranger who is within your gates, that they may hear and that they may learn to fear the Lord your God and carefully observe all the words of this law. And that their children who have not known it may hear and learn to fear the Lord your God as long as you live in the land which you cross the Jordan to possess. And then in verses 16, and the Lord said to Moses, behold, you will rest with your fathers, you're going to die, and this people will rise and play the harlot with the gods of the foreigners of the land where they go to be among them, and they will forsake me and break my covenant which I have made with them. Then my anger shall be aroused against them in that day, and I will forsake them, and I will hide my face from them, and they shall be devoured, and many evils and troubles shall befall them, so that they will say in that day, have not these evils come upon us, as because our God is not among us? Verse 18, and God said, I will surely hide my face in that day because of all the evil which they have done, in that they have turned to other gods. He's already warning. He's warning them. He said, refresh their memory every 7 years at the Feast of Tabernacles. But then, through Moses, he says, no, they're going to turn away. They're going to serve other gods. And this is what's going to happen. And so, let's look to see where repentance comes. Let's look at Jeremiah 25. Start in verse 1. Jeremiah 25. the word that came to Jeremiah concerning all the people of Judah in the fourth year of Jehoiakim, the son of Josiah, king of Judah, which was the first year of Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, which Jeremiah the prophet spoke to all the people of Judah and to all the inhabitants of Jerusalem, saying, from the 13th year of Josiah, the son of Ammon, king of Judah, and even to this day, this is the 23rd year in which the word of the Lord has come to me, and I have spoken to you, rising early and speaking, but you have not listened. And the Lord has sent to you all his servants, the prophets, rising early and sending them, but you have not listened, nor inclined your ear to hear. They said, the prophets, repent now, every one of his evil way and his evil doings, and dwell in the land that the Lord has given to you and your fathers forever and ever. Do not go after other gods to serve them and worship them, and do not provoke me, that's a capital M, with anger, with the works of your hands, and I will not harm you. Yet you have not listened to me, says the Lord, that you might provoke me to anger with the works of your hands to your own hurt. So, repentance is being preached. They're falling off the end, and yet God sent the prophets. He sent judges to head them off, if you were a cow, and bring them back to him. And yet, what does man do?
Rebels.
Yes, we do. We have a hard time with submission, don't we? Now, I'm going to back you up a little bit. I'm sorry, we're close. Isaiah 5. It's just a back one book. We're going to start looking at verse 15. People shall be brought down, each man shall be humbled, and the eyes of the lofty shall be humbled. But the Lord of hosts shall be exalted in judgment, and God, who is holy, shall be hallowed in righteousness. Then the lambs shall feed in their pasture, and in the waste places of the fat ones, strangers shall eat. Verse 18. What is this word? Woe! Woe to those who draw iniquity with cords of vanity and sin as if it were a cart rope. They say, let him make speed and hasten his work that we may see it, and let the counsel of the Holy One of Israel draw near and come that we may know it. Woe to those who call evil good and good evil, who put darkness for light and light for darkness, who put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter. Can you see any of that out our window today? Good evil and evil good. Darkness, light, and light, darkness. Woe to those who are wise in their own eyes and prudent in their own sight. Woe to men mighty at drinking wine. Woe to men valiant for mixing intoxicating drink, who justify the wicked for a bribe and take away justice from the righteous man. Therefore, as the fire devours the stubble, and the flame consumes the chaff, so their root will be as rottenness, and their blossom will ascend like dust, because they have rejected the law of the Lord of hosts and despised the word of the Holy One of Israel. Therefore, the anger of the Lord is aroused against his people. He has stretched out his hand against them and stricken them. And the hills trembled. Their carcasses were as refuse in the midst of the streets. For all his anger is not turned away, but his hand is stretched out still. We could go clear to the end of chapter 5, but this is Isaiah with the word of the Lord to those who turn away, who turn aside. But now let's look at Ezekiel chapter 2. Ezekiel 2, Lamentations, Ezekiel. Ezekiel 2, part. Ezekiel was sent as a prophet, chapter 2, Ezekiel 2, to prophesy about the rebellious house, starting in verse 1. Maybe I ought to back up just a little bit to see the context. So at the end of chapter 1, Ezekiel was in the presence of the Lord. And there's a description right here about the appearance of the brightness. Well, let me find the start of the verse. He's trying to describe heaven, and he's having just as much trouble as John was. He's using all kinds of things that... what are those two words, Archie?
Simile and metaphor.
Yes, thank you. He is symbolizing and metaphorizing.
Now, God must
to the best of his... Anyway, he's in the presence of the Lord, and I wanted to draw attention to that because chapter 2 starts like right in the middle. And so I wanted you to see that Ezekiel is going to start in chapter 2. And he said to me, Son of man, God, stand on your feet and I will speak to you. Then the Spirit entered me when he spoke to me and set me on my feet. And I heard him, capital H, who spoke to me, and he said to me, Son of man, I am sending you to the children of Israel, to a rebellious nation that has rebelled against me. They and their fathers have transgressed against me to this very day, for they are impudent, and stubborn children. I am sending you to them, and you shall say to them, Thus says the Lord God, as for them, whether they hear or whether they refuse, for they are a rebellious house, yet they will know that a prophet has been among them. And you, son of man, do not be afraid of them, nor be afraid of their words, though briars and thorns are with you and you dwell among scorpions. Do not be afraid of their words or dismayed by their looks. They are a rebellious house. You shall speak my words to them, whether they hear or whether they refuse, for they are rebellious. But you, son of man, hear what I say. Do not be rebellious like that rebellious house. Open your mouth and eat what I give you. And when I looked, there was a hand stretched out to me, and behold, a scroll of a book was in it. Then he spread it before me, and there was writing on the inside and on the outside, and written on it were lamentations and mourning and woe. So now I'll just flip over a little bit to 14, Ezekiel 14. Starting in verse 1. Now some of the elders of Israel came to me and sat before me, and the word of the Lord came to me, saying, Son of man, these men have set up their idols in their hearts and put before them, These men have set up their idols in their hearts and put them that which causes them to stumble into iniquity. Should I let myself be inquired of at all by them? This is God asking. Therefore speak to them and say to them, Thus says the Lord God, Every one of the house of Israel who sets up his idols in his heart and puts before him what causes him to stumble into iniquity and then comes to the prophet, I, the Lord, will answer him who comes according to the multitude of his idols, that I may seize the house of Israel by their hearts, because they are all estranged from me by their idols. Therefore say to the house of Israel, Thus says the Lord God, Repent. Turn away from all your abominations. Doesn't get any plainer than that, does it? Repent. So if you turn away from the abominations, who are you turning toward? If you turn away from evil, who are you turning toward? Good. And who is good?
Jesus.
God. The Son. The Father. The Spirit. So repentance is always a part of this. This is the theme I'm trying to establish here. Even though there's judgment, we're pushed, we're hazed into repentance, if you would. Sometimes, not very kindly, but what does God call them? The nation Israel sometimes. Stiff-necked, rebellious. Oh my. Sure glad I'm not stiff-necked.
So when you're connecting these different words
trying.
From the Old Testament to this verse in this last verse of chapter 8, right?
Uh-huh.
Am I understanding that right?
The woes. Because they're leading to judgment. They're leading to judgment. What the walls are leading to judgment.
And in the Old Testament, there was an opportunity for repentance connected with that. Do you believe there's still an opportunity for repentance?
Oh, yes, there is. And I'm going to show you. Okay.
It is worth noting, though, that just before we get to where your thunder really is here at that point, it is worth noting that every time that repentance is rejected, the heart gets harder.
Harder. Yeah, that's right. Thank you. And why is that?
Well, I think God hardens your heart, doesn't he? Like Pharaoh.
Did he harden Pharaoh's heart?
There are places that it says Pharaoh hardened his own heart.
Is that true?
It says that God hardened his heart.
That's right.
It's both.
It is. Absolutely.
Well, and I'll say it before Lawrence jumps in because I know what he's thinking. There are vessels of dishonor.
That's right.
That their function.
That's right. And there's vessels for honor. And as the created thing, does the pot have the right to tell the potter what kind of a vessel it's made for? Honor or dishonor? No.
And yet we're all still held accountable for our
exactly. We are all accountable. To whom much is given, much is required. Hosea. We're going to look at another instance, starting in verse 1. When Israel was a child, I loved him, and out of Egypt I called my son. As they called them, so they went from them. They sacrificed to Baals, that's an idol, and burned incense to carved images. I taught Ephraim to walk, taking them by their arms, but they did not know that I healed them. I drew them with gentle cords, with bands of love, and I was to them as those who take the yoke from their neck. I stooped and fed them. He shall not return to the land of Egypt, but the Assyrians shall be his king, because they refused to repent. They refused to repent. So, the recompense for that, the Assyrians are going to rule over them. New Testament, Matthew 3. When you turn there, you may not even have to turn there to know or this is. This is John the Baptist. And what's his message? In those days, John the Baptist came preaching in the wilderness of Judea and saying, "Repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand." For this is he who was spoken of by the prophet Isaiah, saying, "The voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, make his path straight." Mark chapter 1. Beginning of the gospel of Jesus Christ, the Son of God, as it is written in the prophets, "Behold, I send my messenger before your face, who will prepare your way before you. The voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, make his path straight." That infers repentance, folks, making your path straight. John came baptizing in the wilderness, and preaching a baptism of repentance for the remission of sins. Then all the land of Judea and those from Jerusalem went out to him and were baptized by him in the Jordan River, confessing their sins, repenting. Luke 13. If you have a red letter edition, you're going to notice a little red right here. 13 verse 1. There were present at that season some who told him, capital H, about the Galileans, whose blood Pilate had mingled with their sacrifices. And Jesus answered and said to them, "Do you suppose that these Galileans were worse sinners than all other Galileans because they suffered such things? I tell you, no. But unless you repent, you will all likewise perish." Or those 18 on whom the Tower of Siloam fell and killed them, do you think that they were worse sinners than all other men who dwell in Jerusalem? I tell you, no. But unless you repent, you will all likewise perish. Acts chapter 2. We're making our way back to Revelation. Starting in verse 36, 2:36. "Therefore, let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God has made this Jesus," this is Peter's sermon, end of his sermon, "this Jesus, whom you crucified, both Lord and Christ." Now when they heard this, they were cut to the heart and said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, "Men and brethren, what shall we do?" And Peter said to them, "Repent and let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For the promise is to you and to your children and to all who are afar off, as many as the Lord our God will call." Acts 3. I went a little too far. Starting in verse 11. This is the lame man was just healed. "Silver and gold I have none, but such as I have give I thee in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Stand up and walk." And now in verse 11. "Now as the lame man who was healed held on to Peter and John, all the people ran together to them in the porch, which is called Solomon's, greatly amazed. So when Peter saw it, he responded to the people, 'Men of Israel, why do you marvel at this? Or why look so intently at us, as though by our own power or godliness we have made this man walk? The God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the God of our fathers, glorified his servant Jesus, whom you delivered up and denied in the presence of Pilate, when he was determined to let him go. But you denied the Holy One and the Just, and asked for a murderer to be granted to you, and you killed the Prince of Life, whom God raised from the dead, of which we are witnesses. And through faith in his name has made this man strong, whom you see and know, yes, the faith which comes through him has given him this perfect soundness in the presence of you all. Yet now, brethren, I know that you did it in ignorance, as did your rulers. But those things which God foretold by the mouth of all his prophets that the Christ should suffer, he has fulfilled. Repent, therefore, and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out, so that times of refreshing may come from the presence of the Lord, that he may send Jesus Christ, who has preached to you before, whom heaven must receive until the time of restoration of all things which God has spoken of by the prophets since the world began. For Moses truly said to the fathers, the Lord your God will raise up for you a prophet like me from your brethren. Him, capital H, you shall hear in all things whatever he says. And it shall be that every soul who will not hear that prophet shall be utterly destroyed from among the people. Let's look at Revelation 3. We didn't go through the churches, but in Revelation 3, that's the church of Laodicea. Starts in verse 14. And to the angel of the church of the Laodiceans write, these things say the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. I know your works, that you are neither cold nor hot. I could wish you were cold or hot. So then, because you are lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will vomit you out of my mouth. Because you say, I am rich, have become wealthy, and have need of nothing, you do not know that you are wretched, miserable, poor, blind, and naked. I counsel you to buy from me gold refined in the fire, that you may be rich, and white garments, that you may be clothed, that the shame of your nakedness may not be revealed, and anoint your eyes with eye salve, that you may see. As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Therefore, be zealous and repent. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come into him and dine with him, and he with me. To him who overcomes, I will grant to sit with me at my throne, as I also overcame and sat down with my Father on his throne. So now let's go back to Revelation 8. Woe, woe, woe to the inhabitants of the earth because of the remaining blasts of the trumpet of the three angels who were about to sound. So there's three more trumpet blasts and three woes. So chapter 9. Then the fifth angel sounded, and I saw a star fallen from heaven to the earth. To him was given the key to the bottomless pit. Interesting that it's locked down. And he opened the bottomless pit, and smoke arose out of the pit like the smoke of a great furnace. So the sun and the air were darkened because of the smoke of the pit. Then out of the smoke, locusts came up upon the earth. And to them was given power, as to the scorpions of the earth, as the scorpions of the earth have power. They were commanded not to harm the grass of the earth, or any green thing, or any tree, but only those men who do not have the seal of God on their foreheads. And they were not given authority to kill them, but to torment them for 5 months. their torment was like the torment of a scorpion when it strikes a man. And in those days, men will seek death and will not find it. They will desire to die, and death will flee from them. And the shape of the locust was like horses prepared for battle. On their heads were crowns of something like gold, and their faces were like the faces of men. They had hair like women's hair, and their teeth were like lion's teeth. And they had breastplates like breastplates of iron. And the sound of their wings was like the sound of chariots with many horses running into battle. They had tails like scorpions, and there were stings in their tails, and their power was to hurt men for 5 months. They had as a king over them the angel of the bottomless pit, whose name in Hebrew is Abaddon, but in Greek he has the name Apollyon. Verse 12, one woe is past. Listen to this judgment. The bottomless pit is open. What is the bottomless pit? Can you think of any biblical reference to the bottomless pit?
Place of torment.
That's right. Anyone else?
The abyss.
The abyss. Synonymous, I do believe. And you see that these locusts are ruled by a demonic king. And what is their job?
Devour them.
Torment.
No devouring. No, even though they have teeth like a lion, it says. But they are to torment men. And this torment is not just like a bee sting. You see, as I read, that they don't have the power to kill, but to torment. And it says, men will seek death, and they won't find it. Death will flee from them. That sounds pretty powerful. And the smoke, all this, in the beginning, when the key opens the pit, and it says the smoke rose out of the pit like a smoke of a great furnace. This is all big. This is not hidden. This is all big. Hollywood can't do this. And so it's getting everyone's attention. But who can't they touch? They cannot touch those with the seal of God. Remember, all those were sealed before anything else could happen. Back in 7. It says in 7, I saw another angel in verse 2, ascending from the east, having a seal of the living God, and he cried out with a loud voice to the four angels to whom it was granted to harm the earth and the sea, saying, do not harm the earth or sea or trees till we have sealed the servants of our God on their forehead. And that's when he said, I heard the number, 144,000. Yes, of the tribes of Israel. Is there any tribes of Israel in here?
We don't know.
We don't know. Only God knows.
Travis says there are.
I wasn't going to throw him under the bus because he's not here, but and I can't disagree, but I can't agree either. I don't know. You're right, Joel. I don't know either.
That's why I said we.
We, yes. But those who would believe are sealed. And so this, that these scorpion-like creatures are going to torment are not believers. So what should be the result?
Repentance should repent.
Exactly.
problem wrong, but you had an extra card.
Well, let me find it here.
You're looking to steal my thunder.
I'm trying not.
Verse 20, chapter 9.
9:20, yes. But the rest of mankind who were not killed by these plagues did not repent of the works of their hands, that they should not worship demons and idols of gold, silver, brass, wood, and stone, which can neither see nor hear, nor they walk. And they did not repent of their murders, or their sorceries, or their sexual immoralities, or their thefts. Talk about hard hearts. These woes, this is, I'm going to, actually I was supposed to read verse 12, and verse 12 says, one woe is past. So there's two more woes and two more trumpet blasts to be hit. Sorry, Archie. But
I knew an hour ago.
Well, because of all these opportunities through judgment, of God seeks that no man should perish. He wishes that no man would perish. But we see that many will because of their hardened hearts. And though all this, they wish they were dead. They're back in when they hid in the rocks. I think it's back in 6. The end of chapter 6. Because of that judgment, they hid themselves and the kings of the earth. It's 6:15. And the kings of the earth, the great men, the rich men, the commanders, the mighty men, every slave, every free man, hid themselves in the caves, in the rocks of the mountains, and said to the mountains and rocks, fall on us and hide us from the face of him who sits on the throne and from the wrath of the Lamb. For the great day of his wrath has come, and who is able to stand? Yes.
Reading this verse number 6 about people seeking death but not find it. It seems like right now in our world, people are wanting to live forever. People are scared to die. I see it all the time.
Mm-hmm.
People are scared to die. They don't want to die. We're making all these medical advances. We're doing everything we can to prolong our lives to forever and ever and ever. And I wonder if God's going to use that, that we continue to just claw at that, and he's going to use that. It's going to turn against us at that point. We don't want to keep being here anymore. We're tired.
That's certainly possible, but because of the great torment that's going to come upon them,
yeah.
That can you imagine that kind of pain? I don't know. I haven't been in.
We can take you into the hospital and we'll give you a new heart.
But it says you.
14 stents.
It says no matter what, you're not going to. They're not going to die. Death is going to flee from them. They're going to have to endure. They're going to be made to endure.
There's a patience that he still allows them to.
And so, even up to the end, repentance is offered, repentance is offered, repentance is offered. And yet, it's pretty evident here in the scripture that their hearts were hardened. They did not repent. They did not turn their face away from their idol worship. In verse 20 of chapter 9. So I hope I didn't beat you up too much. But I, yes, just one?
Yeah.
Okay.
In chapter 8 of the verse 4 of the trumpet, what? Maybe we don't know. But all the trumpets had doom, and it only affected it like a third of the trees, a third of the sea, a third.
In the fourth trumpet there, yeah.
All of them affected a third of something that's going to go wrong.
Do you want to know why?
Yeah.
I don't.
I think I know why. A third of the angels fell from heaven. And so I think there's a connection there between
God's
righteous judgment and him proving the point.
And 33 and a third percent?
A third of the world being destroyed.
So what
it is a prelude to. So at this point, what's interesting is none of these trumpets have been lashed out on people yet.
Until now. His first woe is the fifth trumpet.
So I could be wrong. I can't prove that. It's just I think it has their significance there with the fact that a third of the angels fell from heaven due to pride, and now a third of these things are being attacked.
Well, and God's concerned with numbers. I mean, numbers are a big thing.
Yes, and I can't tell you that I understand it all, but look, if a third is 33.3, what's left?
33.333.
666. I just popped in my head. Whether it's viable or not, I don't know, but if you want to pursue numbers, I mean, you can drive yourself nuts. Well, that's all I got. I don't want to tread any farther into our keys next week than I already have. But it's interesting, too, that it was for 5 months only. Now, we don't know God's time and our time. It might not be 150 days.
You know the lifespan of the locust?
No.
5 months.
The interesting thing, though, about that is these are clearly not locusts.
No, absolutely not.
So, that's interesting.
He sees something in 3 kids.
Yeah, he doesn't know how to explain it.
No.
So, but they obviously have tremendous power.
Oh,
they're
yeah.
They're not a little bug. They're creatures.
Can you imagine?
Or something.
A breastplate of armor, yeah.
Yeah, with the face of a man. I mean, I think he's describing a demon or some sort of.
Well, their leader is absolutely demonic. Demonic.
Yeah.
Hard for me to say.
Is this, I don't know, maybe I'm going out on a limb here, but is this the third of the angels? Is this something along those lines? I don't know, but.
I don't either.
It's certainly not a bug. When you read it, you got to get away from that one, so.
Yeah, no. And apparently, it said their power was like scorpion. So, you know, their sting was like a scorpion. Anybody ever played with scorpions? Besides me?
You know, one of the great discoveries, I don't know when it was, 18-something or another, I think, was the microscope. Begin to be able to see things that we couldn't see. And I think that there's more of that coming. I think we have not discovered everything that's in the universe yet. And I think by God's design, He is constantly.
What was that big mic, the big telescope? Was that last year when they discovered, oh, there's more of these galaxies way out there?
They opened up Satan's pathway right now with that collider. Yeah, this atom collapsing experiment that they're undertaking has the potential to do more damage than climate change or whatever.
Oh, really? I don't know anything about that.
Well, they have an atom smasher in, I don't know, somewhere in Europe. They smash atoms, and they're trying to get down to the smallest basic element, whatever it is.
They've lost track of it.
And they have got it now to the point where they can't go any further because the place that this thing is located, it's in danger of exploding when they take it down further. So they don't know how to do it safely.
Isn't an atom smasher a nuclear bomb?
Well, it's not. I don't know. I'm not technically enough. I know it's dangerous.
And speaking of the microscope, the guy that invented that put some pond water under, looked at it, and he saw these little around. He called them beasties.
So the next thing is geoengineering. solar geoengineering. They're working on blocking the sun rays from the earth so that the earth doesn't warm up so quickly. Now, we are flirting, but you take that and all the mRNA stuff that's going on, the genome things, we are flirting with disaster in so many ways.
And it's coming.
The same people that want to block the sun want to run on solar.
Yeah. They're investing in wind turbines. Well, that's all I got for today. Let's close with a word of prayer. Father, we thank you for your word. Lord, was it not for your Holy Spirit and the inspiration and those that have gone before us, Lord, to help us to understand and to know, to lead us and guide us by your Spirit, Lord, and your word, the apocalyptic predictions, Lord, that you have given John to write. At times, they're just downright intimidating. So, Father, but we know that those who would believe are sealed for the day of redemption. So we should have hope. We should be of good cheer. Father, as we go, may all that we say, may all that we do only bring you glory and honor. I pray for those who are afflicted by illness, Lord, of one kind or another. I think of Cindy, Becky's niece, Lord, and I think of those who are believers and have hope. So, Father, we thank you that you give us this hope. It's by your Spirit that we know. Your Spirit gives testimony to our spirit to know that we know that we know that we are children of the Most High God. And I just thank you and give you glory and honor. In Jesus' name I pray.